This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Improve your health and well-being the natural way with The Medicine Man, next on Plains FM.
We'll drink a drink a drink to Lily the Pink.
Good morning, everybody. This is Michael McCammon, and I'm the Medicine Man, and we're going to be talking about what is the perfect diet. Is there such a thing as a perfect diet? And who am I, and who's anybody to tell you what to eat? You know, there's a lot of confusion out there, isn't there? So if you want to clear up some confusion, this is your opportunity, because we've been told a lot of codswallop, you could say, about what's best for us. And most of the time it's been commercial interest that are telling you to eat, you know, certain stuff. So shall we sort of sort out the chaff and the grain and give you just the best of what is good to eat? So we'll come back to you soon. So welcome back to Plains FM, Medicine Man, Mike McCammon, and we're talking about what is the best thing to eat. Well, first of all, before we launch into this, let's just get it straight that there's we're all different, aren't we? There's seven different constitutions, according to some of the work that I've done. I've narrowed it down to seven constitutions, there's four different blood groups, and there's all sorts of genetic heritage. And for thousands of years, for example, the Polynesian people didn't have grain, and then we've got other people, say from India, maybe Africa, that have had grain for over 1,000 years, 3,000 years, such as the ancient Egyptians. So what happens over time really depends on a number of factors as to what is the perfect diet for you. But there are certain principles, protocols, certain laws about nutrition that have become quite confused once there were too many commercial interests in selling you certain types of foods. And of course, the predominant foods that I think aren't particularly good for anybody is too much grain. But before we launch into that, I'd like to talk to you about this remarkable man called Dr. Weston A. Price. So if you haven't heard of Dr. Weston Price, this is going to be a good talk for you to listen to, because Dr. Weston Price was actually a Cleveland dentist. He lived from 1870 to 1948, but he's actually been called the Isaac Newton of nutrition. And what he was interested in is he wanted to know why some of his patients had very little dental decay, and the ones that had very little dental decay or no dental decay or dental issues or periodontal issues were extremely healthy generally, and whereas the patients he saw a lot with periodontal disease, that sort of bleeding gums and, you know, bacteria in their mouth and cavities, he also noticed that they had all sorts of so-called modern degenerative diseases. So he actually wanted to find out what actually was going on here. So in his search in the cause of dental decay and physical generation, he observed in his dental practice, he decided rather than just stay there in his little laboratory, he'd go out in the world and find out what the rest of the world was like. So he wanted to find the factors responsible for the wonderful teeth he found people who had basically been isolated from the Western diet. And so he traveled the world, and the world, in fact, became his laboratory. So as he traveled, his findings led him to the belief that dental caries and deformed dental arches, because what happens is, as you're having more and more demineralized food, your jaw actually gets thinner or less wide, okay? And yet there's always got the same number of teeth. So we started to get crowding in our teeth, and then we needed dentists even more, didn't we, to help realign our teeth. But what's actually happening is in Western civilization, in other words, industrialized civilizations, our mineral composition is getting less and less. And as we've talked about before, when I talked about minerals, is that we've got a nation now in New Zealand, but also throughout the civilized world, of mineral deficiencies. And with mineral deficiencies come all sorts of other problems. So he traveled, and Dr. Price anyway, traveled the world over in order to study these isolated human groups. Now, this included villages in Switzerland, and this is in the 1930s. Gaelic communities in the Outer Hebrides, Eskimos, or rather Inuit people, and the Indians of North America, Melanesian and Polynesian South Sea Islanders. He visited African tribes, Australian Aborigines, and New Zealand Maori, and the Indians of South America. And wherever he went, Dr. Price found that beautiful straight teeth, freedom from decay, strong, resilient bodies, and these people were very resistant to diseases, and their fine characters were typical of native people on their traditional diets, rich in essential food factors. Now, this is quite a profound study, and yet very few people have actually heard of it. So this would have been the finest nutritional study that's ever been done and cannot be repeated, because at that time, at least, there were quite a number of indigenous peoples that were living on natural foods. And as I've said before, in my naturopathic and medical herbalism practice, I've yet to find a single individual that did not have mineral deficiencies. And what I have noticed, that the works of Weston Price have really hold up in practice, because I do notice those people that come in with fairly serious illnesses, such as cancer, diabetes, dementia, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, multiple sclerosis, et cetera, or cardiovascular problems. It's very high correlation between poor dental hygiene or poor dental health. In other words, I notice there's receding gums, there's lots of mercury fillings, which is another issue altogether, with high levels of mercury being leaked into the system. But basically, what you eat has a heck of a lot to do with the health of your teeth, as we know. But Dr. Price discovered that the diets of so-called primitive, healthy people and non-industrialized peoples contained no refined or denatured foods, such as, you know, refined sugar or corn syrup, white flour, canned foods, pasteurized and homogenized skim or low-fat milk, and refined or hydrogenated vegetable oils, you know, protein powders, artificial vitamins, or toxic additives and coloring. So if we go back in time, even if we go way, way back to the beginnings of humanity, even if, say, we go back 40,000 years, the forensic archaeologists have now discovered that we predominantly had a largely plant-based diet. But the thing about the archaeological record is you see lots of bones. Well, over 100 years or even just one generation, of course they'll be eating animal food, but the archaeological record doesn't give a balanced approach or a view of what really they ate most of, which was actually plant-based material. But now with forensic archaeology, we're discovering that 80 to 90% of their diet was actually plant-based, and that's quite fascinating. The other thing they've discovered through looking at teeth and bone is that their mineral composition was several times that of modern humans. And so these people had had foods that were very nutrient-dense. And the advent of tooth decay in Paleolithic societies, ancient societies, was relatively rare. Sure, some of the teeth of the older people were quite worn, but tooth decay was remarkably rare. So they managed to live several thousand years, 40,000 years, plus, with no dentists. Isn't that extraordinary? And what would we do now without dentists, particularly those of my generation, where they used to practice on our teeth and cause all sorts of problems by filling them with this nasty toxic stuff called mercury. But anyway, all traditional cultures consume some sort of animal protein from fat and fish and other seaweed, however, you know, from birds and land animals, eggs, milk and milk products, even lizards and insects. And these things are high in protein. So we do need our protein, but today we've got too much protein. So primitive diets contain at least four times the calcium and other minerals and 10 times the fat-soluble vitamins from animal fats. And that's really significant, because the animal fat is a mineral activator. It helps you absorb the minerals. But particularly that animal fat, we need the vitamin A for your eyes. We need the vitamin D for your bones. And we also need the vitamin E for our hearts. So fat is not the enemy. I've talked about this before, but even butter is good for you. Okay, so in all traditional cultures, however, some animal products are eaten raw. So we're not so sure, but there doesn't appear to be any culture that is purely vegan. There are some animal products in all traditional cultures. So the so-called primitive and traditional diets have very high food enzyme content from fermented foods and from raw, for example, dairy products, raw meat and fish, raw honey, tropical fruits, tree-ripened, of course, cold-pressed oils, and wine and unpasteurized beer. In other words, the fermented foods give you the enzymes. And what are the white blood cells? They're a collection of intelligent enzymes, and we need living foods that are high in enzymes so that we can have a very strong immunity. So lactic fermented vegetables, fruits, beverages are very, very important in a traditional diet. Now, the other thing is about nuts, and we all love nuts. I mean, there's nothing like, I love a little bit of salted peanuts from watching a good movie. Sometimes nice to have a few salted peanuts. I love almonds. There's all sorts of wonderful nuts. There's for those people that can have cashew nuts, there's cashews, pistachios, Brazil nuts, all these sorts of things. The problem with nuts, though, is the same problem with grains, is they've got this chemical in it called phytic acid, and it's there to prevent the nut from sprouting on the tree or on the vine. So the phytic acid there is an enzyme inhibitor. And if you're eating nuts that have not been soaked, right, overnight, there's a special way to prepare them, the nuts are going to be very hard to digest. The other thing that we notice is that because our digestive systems are the lowest they've ever been in the entire history of the human beings, we don't have enough stomach hydrochloric to actually help to digest the proteins in nuts. And so when you're eating nuts that have not been soaked and then dried and then salted, they can often turn into toxic proteins further down the intestine, and then they become allergies, and then you wonder why you're tired and you're getting headaches or you've got hay fever and so forth. It's really because of what you've eaten. So the best way to prepare nuts is to actually salt them in salt water. So you have a liter of water. And you put approximately a tablespoon of good salt, that's Himalayan salt, or some good natural salt in it. Cover the nuts with this water. After 4 to 6 hours, you pour the water off, and then you lightly bake them in the oven, and they're absolutely delicious, but you'll actually you'll digest them properly. But if you're wondering why you're tired and you feel a little bit funny after eating nuts, it's because of the phytic acid and you're not digesting them properly. And you might be one of those people that have got low stomach hydrochloric, which is incredibly common in about a third of my patients. So nuts can be a problem, but nuts are good for you. It's just the way you have them. Now, the total fat content, here's the other thing, that fat's been made the enemy, you know, and which was ridiculous really, because the total fat content of traditional diets varied from 30% to 80%, and yet these people didn't have heart disease. Isn't that interesting? But only about 4% of the calories came from polyunsaturated oils. So, you know, got to be careful with so-called polyunsaturated oils, and these are the oils that are contained in grains, okay? So pulses, nuts, fish, animal fats, and vegetables. But the balance of fat calories is in the form of saturated and monounsaturated fatty acids. To put it simply, butter's actually good for you. Olive oil's good for you. Avocado oil's good for you. Coconut oil's good for you. But just about everything else ain't so good for you. I'm not going to go into all those details, but I'm just telling you the news today. You know, I'm just telling you the good news, and it's the truth. So the other thing about the traditional diets is Dr. Price found that they contained equal amounts of omega-6 to omega-3 essential fatty acids. Now, the problem is that there's this rave, a fad about having lots and lots of omega-3s, but they don't occur in nature as concentrated just with the omega-3. There's equal amounts of omega-6s, which are supposed to be the bad ones. But when you have equal amounts, it actually works out better for your system, and we won't go into all the details. It'll take too much time. But the best supplement, if you want omega-3s, is to take it in the form of good old-fashioned cod liver oil that Granny used to say is the best thing for you. And remember that cod liver oil, I've said before, can actually prevent rickets. It's pretty powerful stuff. And cod liver oil has got your vitamin A, your vitamin D, your vitamin E, and the correct balance of omega-3s to omega-6. So if you're using a good cod liver oil, it's about 3 capsules a day, give you all you need, and you'll find that your eyesight gets better, your skin will look better, your immunity will look great, and you have better heart health. So just a simple old cod liver oil, but just make sure you get the right brand. The other thing that Dr. Price discovered was that all traditional or so-called primitive diets, they all contain some salt. And whenever I meet some patient that's been on a salt-free diet, it's a picture of malnutrition, and they've got shocking digestion, because one of the most important things for digestion is salt. So if your stomach, where all disease actually begins in the stomach, if you don't have the correct salt, your body's not going to be able to produce hydrochloric acid, because you need the chloride from the salt so you can produce hydrochloric acid. And the reason we have hydrochloric acid in your stomach is in response to protein, the acidity actually makes the pepsin and enzyme break down your proteins, and your proteins can become amino acids, and then your body can use them properly to rebuild your body. But when you don't have that, what tends to happen is those proteins actually go further down into the small intestine and become toxic irritants. And by the time they get to the lower bowel, a few meters below that, what happens is you get this incredible acidity that actually, through the permeable membrane of the gut, goes into your tissues. Your body will then start to collect fluid for two reasons. One, your kidneys aren't able to handle all those toxins that your liver's been detoxifying for you. The kidneys aren't getting rid of them, so you'll start accumulating fluid. But the other thing is that they'll become so acidic in your tissues that the fluid will actually dilute it and sort of keep you alive for a little bit longer. But the consequence of that is aches and pains and fatigue and grumpiness, because the tissues of your body are meant to be alkaline. So with an acid tissue, you have all sorts of things like histamine, uric acid, carbolic acid, whatever else, waste products of metabolism and toxic proteins that have been incorrectly broken down, so the body can't use them as building blocks. They become toxins, and that is underlying cause for the hay fever, allergy, and just about all the diseases of Western civilization, to make it really simple. So salt, but don't overdo the salt, but use natural salt. Don't have that pure white deadly stuff, which has got free-flowing agents, which you don't want to really know what they're made of, because they're not good for you. So make sure you get really good natural salt that hasn't been adulterated or fiddled with. So the other thing that Dr. Price discovers, that traditional cultures consume animal bones. Isn't that interesting? We throw our bones out, but usually in the form of gelatin-rich bone broth. So the gelatin in the bone is a mineral activator, and it's really good for your skin and your bones, of course. And if you're feeling tired, or if you're feeling scratchy, and particularly in winter, I've talked about bone broth and how nutrient dense it is. And of course, it's got that very special stuff called vitamin B12, which is pure energy. So the last thing I'd like to say about traditional diets from Dr. Weston Price is he discovered that all traditional cultures, all of them, make provisions for the health of their future generations. And they do this by providing nutrient-rich foods for the parents-to-be. So during pregnancy, the mother's on special foods. They're on, lamb's fry. They're on bone broth. And by proper spacing of the children, right, by not having too many children at once, and teaching the principles of right diet to the young people. And this is what's missing in our cultures today, because in my opinion, and a lot of other people's opinion, our diet industry is generated by the love of money, I have to say. I shouldn't say it, but I've just said it. It slipped out, unconsciously slipped out. So as I've said in the body of this talk, that all disease begins in the stomach. It's quite a statement, isn't it? But I'm going to stand by that, because after 40 years in practice, all disease begins in the stomach. It all starts in not only how you think and so forth, and the stresses that we have in daily life, but remember our Paleolithic ancestors have the odd bit of stress too. You walk around a corner, there's a saber-toothed tiger or a cave bear waiting for you. That's pretty stressful. But they did not have so-called modern diseases, heart disease, stroke, cancer, diabetes, etc., etc., etc. So this huge search for the cause of cancer and all this, and the war on cancer and all this sort of hoo-ha, is in fact hoo-ha, as far as I'm concerned, and a lot of other people in my profession. And of course, now that we've got Google, you can Google anything I've said here and find out the truth or not of what I've said today, is that we've always known the cause of cancer, and there are wonderful solutions. It has to do an enormous amount with our diet. And who's trained in diet and nutrition? Unfortunately, our medical schools, I think they get 1 hour of training as nutrition. That's not enough. So Food is your best medicine. Yes, disease starts in the stomach. And when if we look at the simplicity of it, I don't want to be too simple, but I'm trying to keep it simple today, that we need to eat so much more vegetables and fruits and immune-supporting and nutrient-rich food. And to finish on one fact, that we're not eating enough vegetables. We're eating too much meat, and we're eating too much of those deadly white sugar, white flour, white salt. And so what is, and how many vegetables should we eat a day, or how much? Well, officially, statistics and the latest research say we should, all of us should be eating 2.2 kilos of vegetables every day. And the amount of protein shouldn't be bigger than the palm of your hand. Isn't that interesting? So to make it simple, let's just try this little thing. 6 vegetables, 2 fruits, 1 protein, 1 good carbohydrate, complex carbohydrate a day. But 2.2 kilos of vegetables a day can change your life. It can change you from one of acid tissue chemistry, pain and suffering. And after a period of time, it may take a few months, you will find that your pH will balance. So that's 2.2 kilos of really good, preferably organic veggies every day. Lovely to talk to you today, and we'll come up with something really good for you next week. Bye-bye. This is Mike McCammon, Medicine Man. I'm on Plains FM. If you want to know more, you simply go onto my website, www.nzherbal.com, and have a look through us. If you want to get hold of us there, you'll see an email that you can write to us, and we're happy to reply to any of your questions. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.